The following recording was produced by the Queechy Church in Queechy, Vermont. For more information on the church, its activities, and resources, please visit us online at www.queechychurch.org. Now the text of our sermon is found on page 7 of your bulletin. Allow me to read. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass, he flourishes like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him. And his righteousness to his children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. May God bless the reading of his word. Now you may know this, the Psalms are the book of prayer and praise, of worship for his people. We can all often have a false view of the Psalms, however, as if they are merely spontaneous. That's often what we value in our age, spontaneity, the outbreaking of our emotions, because there is a lot of emotion in the Psalms. However, even if that's where the impulse began, in this case, in David's experience with God, here in particular, David is being proactive. In other words, the Psalms are as much instruction to us as they are a reflection of experience. Here, David, out of his own experience with the Lord, is proactively instructing us. And it takes the form of what was first instruction to him. This is, you could say, a song of self-talk. In fact, we might almost see this as a prelude to prayer and a helpful one. For we often don't know what we should be praying for, or maybe have the thought that we should be praying, but don't have anything particularly holy on our minds, anything that seems particularly relevant. And Scripture is a good place to start. The Psalms in particular are a good place to start. If you are seeking to establish a habit of prayer, my first suggestion actually would be to begin by reading Scripture, and indeed read a psalm. When you begin to pray, read a psalm and be shaped by it. What does that look like? Well, here in this psalm, we're going to be looking at the issue of what we remember and what we forget. We'll be looking at the duty that we have to remember. We'll be looking at the danger of forgetting. And then we'll look at what is it that God remembers and forgets. There's some strange language about what the Lord remembers and what he forgets. But first of all, the duty of remembering. This psalm begins with David addressing himself. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. And to start with, we have this curious dynamic. We use the word bless to describe what God does to us, and then how we respond to God. And the reality is, whenever this is used throughout Hebrew literature, blessing from the Lord always means that he is doing something for you. He's benefiting you in some way that otherwise would not be the case. And yet, when we bless the Lord, we never give anything to him. We're not a benefit to him in that way. Rather, when we say, bless the Lord, what we are saying is, the Lord is the source of blessing. It's a way of giving thanks, recognizing where every good and perfect gift has come from, that indeed every good and perfect gift has come from above. And so the psalm begins with our most basic duty of remembrance, thanksgiving. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Do not forget his benefits. Huge difference, though, between the Lord blessing us and us blessing the Lord. For us, it's entirely responsive. The reason why this duty is so crucial, why the psalm begins here and begins here with a command, not an investigation, but a command, is because what is on our minds is so very, very crucial. So crucial for ourselves, so important for our welfare. A.W. Tozer, in his book, The Knowledge of the Holy, put it this way: what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. If that's true, then David is right when he begins by saying, self, remember the Lord and how good he is. Remember the benefits that he has given to you. This indeed is the reason why we are commanded, as in 1 Thessalonians 5, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It is very common for us to say, what is the will of the Lord? What is God doing in a particular circumstance? What does he want for me? Particularly when we come to transition times in our lives where we have decisions to make. What is the Lord's will? Well, the Lord's will is for us to pray without ceasing, to give thanks in all circumstances, to rejoice always. And if we take that seriously, we begin to realize this is a very difficult duty. As necessary as it is for our welfare, this is very difficult, to be happy in all circumstances. And for this reason, David does not start by saying, self, should we bless the Lord? He doesn't start by taking a poll. How do I feel about what's going on right now? That's the normal thing that you and I do, if we're taking stock at all. No, he says, not how are you doing, self? Self, listen, I have something to tell you. Bless the Lord. I have to tell you what's most important, because you're not going to come up with it yourself. There's always something on our minds, but David interrupts it. And he says, bless the Lord, O my soul. This is where we start. This is our duty. This is crucial. So crucial, it will not happen unless we make it happen. What's utterly normal is for us just to continue on. The gravity of our own self, just bubbling up thoughts like this. Not that gravity bubbles up. My apologies for the mixed metaphor. But what's so normal, I'm happy. I like what's happening. I'm sad. I don't like what's happening. He's making me angry. She's really trying my patience. Not really thinking or reflecting, and certainly not worshiping, just responding in our hearts, coming up with these things. But what our hearts never do naturally, never, or to say how glorious the Lord is. Beyond what I'm seeing and experiencing now, there's something higher. No, that is something that only happens if you stop and you say to yourself, self, this is what's true. My heart doesn't know what's true. I have to tell it what's true. Bless the Lord. He's the creator. He's the maker. Whatever's going on right now does not change who he is or who he is for me. Remember him. Remember his covenant. Remember his commandments. David is teaching us to interrupt the flow of thought with this prime duty to remember the Lord and to give thanks. The reality is that the alternative to stopping and telling yourself what is true, is that you will begin to listen. You might begin to listen to your heart, which is highly commended. If you were raised on 80s pop music, there's even a song called Listen to Your Heart. Believe in yourself. No. No, this is something we learned from the psalm. That way is the way of destruction. You might simply believe people around you. If you are not telling your heart what is true from the Word of God, you might believe the news. Don't do that. Or you might even find that you are hearing another voice entirely. That you're hearing the voice of the accuser. You're hearing the voice of the tempter. The evil one that Jesus taught us to pray would not have power over us. As these thoughts that are so natural to our broken hearts begin to rise. If you do not tell your heart what to believe, it will begin to tell you. And what this means is that this duty of remembering is work. It is active, not passive. And it does not come naturally to us. It's necessary for us to engage in the preventative maintenance of this psalm. There are other psalms that speak in similar ways. Psalm 42, Psalm 43. Why so downcast, O my soul? But here, David is getting ahead. He's getting ahead of his heart. He's not saying I'm downcast. He's just saying, heart, before we go anywhere else, you need to know this. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Do not forget his benefits. This is the active duty of remembering. The flip side of this is the danger of forgetting. In other words, why is it so important that we begin with remembering? Why is it so important that we speak to our hearts and don't listen to our hearts? In scriptural terms, when we talk about remembering and forgetting, we're not talking primarily about losing or gaining information. When we're worried about forgetting something, what we do is we realize that this thing, this event, this obligation, this anniversary, this birthday is going to leave our minds. And so we set calendar reminders. We set alarms, things to prompt us. We say, oh, now I remember. It was out of my mind, now it is in my mind. Primarily in Scripture, when we're looking at remembering and forgetting, we're concerned about what is our mind focused on? What is it preoccupied with? What is it consumed by? Not merely the gaining or losing of information. And if this is true, we either remember the Lord or we forget him. It's like obedience. You're either obeying or you are disobeying. There's no halfway. There is no try, only do or do not. In fact, in the book of Deuteronomy, as God had led his people through the wilderness, had delivered them from slavery, had provided miraculously for them, miraculous food, miraculous drink, which David remembers here in the psalm, the commandments you gave to Moses, the mercy that you showed your people Israel. And he's preparing to bring them into a greater blessing, to give them a land, to give them a home. He says this, take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his rules, and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, when your herds and flocks multiply, when your silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart is lifted up. You see, the heart begins to speak. And you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, and brought you water out of the flinty rock, that fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do good to you in the end. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me the wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his commandment that he swore to your fathers, as it is to this day. And if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today, you shall perish. It is this stark. This is the danger of forgetting. This is why the duty of remembering is so incumbent on us. Because to forget is not merely to have the Lord out of our minds, but it's for our minds to become focused on something else. If the first duty of remembering is thanksgiving, bless the Lord, O my soul. Do not forget his benefits. Do not forget what he has done for you. The chief danger of forgetting is to have something else dominate our minds that robs us of that ability. What do I mean? Meaning when we forget the Lord, we begin to think, I'm in charge. The things that I have, I've secured. And if we're doing well, we feel pretty good about that. Or if our livelihood is threatened, I'm in charge. I've got to solve this problem. And in neither of those cases, whether you're anxious about what you have or don't have, or you're secure in what you have, there's no thanksgiving there. No, your heart has begun to speak. My hands have done this. I'm the one who invested in this. I made the right decisions. And the Lord is forgotten. Something else begins to dominate our minds. Something else begins to fill it. No, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. My soul, my life. And do not forget his benefits. What are the benefits that he's talking about? He gets ahead of himself. He says, you've got to remember this. Soul, I'm talking to you. I'm not listening to you. I'm talking to you. And be careful not to forget his benefits. What has he done for you? Well, we see here in the passage, he begins by saying, he forgives all your iniquity. Because often when we forget the Lord, we also conveniently forget our own sin and our own brokenness. It may be part of the reason our hearts don't want to focus on the Lord, because it brings ourselves into focus at the same time. But David says, no, don't forget. He forgives your iniquity. Right at the beginning. You may think, the Lord has no reason to pay attention to me. David says, don't forget. Don't forget who this God is. He's a God who forgives your iniquity. He's a God who heals your diseases, which is not limited simply to infections. That's what we think of when we think of this word. But the sense of it, the way that this is used in Scripture, is talking about everything that antagonizes you, the agonies of your life. He's the one who addresses them. If you need relief, this is what the Lord does. Don't forget his benefits. He is the one who gives relief, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like an eagle's. Don't forget, every time that you stop and you say, ah, that's good. You're enjoying a good meal. You're reading a good book. You're just sitting with a friend or family member and enjoying company and saying, this is good. David says, don't forget. Don't think that you paid for that meal and conjured it out of nothing. Don't think that you created these relationships and situations. The Lord crowns you with steadfast love. Don't forget his benefits. Don't forget what he has done for you. Don't pretend that your hands have accomplished this. This is the way of destruction. Not only this, but David reminds us that we really are in the end just dust. So the Lord knows something, and he knows that we are just dust. We're just bits of earth hanging together for a time. And if we've forgotten the Lord, then we're going to maintain the illusion that we control and direct and secure our lives right up until the time that that dust begins to fall apart. And we realize that we're not gods. We can't determine our path. We will not last. It says we're like grass. If we're reminding ourselves of how eternal the Lord is, we also begin to remember that we're like the grass. And how much thought do you give grass? Only as much as it needs, right? I haven't thought about it for a while. I haven't got the lawnmower out. I haven't thought about getting that back into the regular routine. No, grass is there to be cut. Good to look at if it's cut properly. But really, not really worth much more than that. Do you remember that that's what we are? And do you know that the Lord knows that? The danger of forgetting is not only making too much of ourselves, but it's cutting ourselves off. Cutting ourselves off, forgetting that the steadfast love of the Lord is what secures all of our benefits. And here is the fundamental reality. Here is primarily what David is driving at. We're just dust hanging together. We're just grass that flourishes for a time, and the Lord knows this as much as we try to forget it. But here's the fundamental reality. The Lord is not like us. What do I mean? If we talk about the God who forgets and remembers, the really important question, as important as the question of what's on your mind when you think of God, what do you know to be true? What do you trust in? What do you tell yourself? More important than that is this question. What does the Lord think of you? In the end, this is the really crucial question. C.S. Lewis put it this way, a noted academic and the author of the Chronicles of Narnia. I think he's best known for that. But he put it this way in an essay called What Shall We Make of Jesus Christ? What are we to make of Jesus Christ? This is a question which has, in a sense, a frantically comic side. For the real question is not what are we to make of Jesus Christ, but what is he to make of us? The picture of a fly sitting and deciding what it's going to make of an elephant has comic elements about it. And so there is something comic even about saying, what are you going to make of the Lord? What do you think of him? When in the end, the really crucial question is, what is he going to make of you? What does he think of you? Now, the Lord knows that we are just dust, that we are just the grass of the field. And when we look at those things, we don't think much of them. We may even have some enmity with the grass if it's not growing the way we want it to, or just don't feel like cutting it this week. That's not imminent, I think, for us. We may have to shovel some snow today. But the Lord is not like us. Jesus Christ said this, but if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, which is exactly what David is reminding us of here, that we are momentary, even so will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Here is the real issue. There's a sense in which David is telling us, you've got to be disciplined. You've got to step up. Say, self, this is what's true. Whatever's going on, self, bless the Lord. This is what's true. He's provided you this benefits. And that is a good habit for us to be in. Self, do not forget where you came from. Do not forget who it is who has secured every good thing for you. But the real issue and the real hope that David meditates on in this psalm is the reality that God remembers and forgets. What do I mean? Throughout Scripture, God has spoken of as remembering certain kinds of things. Start flipping through the Bible You'll come to Noah in the midst of flood and catastrophe. And in the midst of it all, as the ark is floating, just like a box on the water, with nowhere to land, we're told, but God remembered Noah. We're told in Exodus that as his people lived in slavery and called out to him and seemed not to get an answer, 400 years in Egypt. But we're told this, God heard their groaning and he remembered. He remembered his covenant with Abraham. He remembered his promises to them. Psalm 98 says, he has remembered his love and faithfulness to Israel. This is the hope. This is the cry of hope of the Psalms. And in all of these instances, we tend to stop and say, wait a second. I thought God was supposed to know everything. I thought it was one of the fundamental issues of who God is. He's omniscient, right? Can he forget and remember as if he had forgotten? And the answer is no, of course not. But rather, we're told of instances where the Lord, his attention is seen. It is felt. In other words, in the midst of the flood, what was Noah's hope? But that God would remember him, that his thought was on him, that he cared about him and did not forget him. What was the hope of the people as they cried out to the Lord? But that they were not forgotten. Indeed, the question here is, what does God like to think about? We have to stop and tell ourselves what to think about because our hearts are led in all, so we forget things. Honey, do you remember what tomorrow is? So easy to forget things because our hearts are not trustworthy. If they were, we wouldn't have to tell them what to think. But the Lord is not like us. Look at what David says. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. This is precisely when Moses said, God, I want to see you face to face. God said, all right, here's what it looks like. You get hidden. Because if we come into direct contact, that's not going to be good for you. I'm holy and you are not. As good as you are, Moses. And then Moses hears this declaration, the Lord, merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. What does the Lord remember? What's on God's mind? He's not losing and gaining information, but his mind is fixed on something. And this is what David fundamentally focuses on, steadfast love. He's not like you and me. We look at things that are insignificant or troublesome or broken. How do we get this out of the way? This is getting in my way. But no, God, what he remembers is steadfast love. He's focused on it. He's more focused on it than we can remember. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger. So often what we expect is that the Lord is quick to anger. That when we become conscious that we're just bits of dust that aren't even very good at being bits of dust, we don't listen, that we fear his judgment. And yet the Lord says, no. No, my ways are not like your ways, and my thoughts are not like your thoughts. Indeed, when the Lord forgets, he doesn't lose information. But when the Lord forgets, he says, your sins are taken away as far as the east is from the west. How far is that? It's really far. That's really far. That's as far goes. And what he means is this. He's not like you. When someone does wrong to you, you've got to work at forgetting it. And you probably never really do. That information stays in your mind. But the Lord says is this, your sins, that outburst of anger, those evil desires, that selfish behavior, I'm not going to bring that up. I'm not going to go looking for those things the way that you do. When you're unhappy with somebody and you start, your mind starts thinking, yeah, I remember what they did. You know, they're always like this. The Lord says, that's not who I am. I'm not like that. What's on my mind is steadfast love. And so when you come before me with your sins, remember the benefits. He forgives all your iniquities. He heals you. And he says, I'm not going to bring this up again. I've removed your sins from you as far as the east is from the west. And I'm not going to bring it up. He's not compromising his omniscience. But he's saying to you, what I care about is love. David here says that he's like a father who's compassionate with his children. Do you see that? Is that what your heart tells you when you think about God? Because Tozer's right. What you think of when you think of God is very important. Is this what your heart says? Oh, the Lord, so much more compassionate and gracious than I expect. Or does your heart say to you, I don't know right now. Let me look around and see what's going on. And then I'll come to a judgment about what I think about the Lord. And David says, self, I have something to tell you. You've forgotten. Let me remind you. This is who the Lord is. Compassionate, gracious, abounding in steadfast love. He never stops thinking about that. Do you realize that? He never stops thinking about that. He is always meditating on steadfast love. Self, do you know what God is delighting in right now? Is he waiting to drop the hammer? Is he waiting to catch you? No. The Lord delights in steadfast love. And if he confronts you with your sin, it's so that you'll forget it the way that he does. So that you'll say, I don't need this on my mind anymore. If indeed Jesus Christ is the one who stands in my place, if he was willing to take it on, then I can give it up too. Self, do you know that when you forget the Lord, he does not forget you? And this is why the chief question we have to concern ourselves with is, what does the Lord think? As we approach this topic of prayer, we so often think, am I praying enough? It's a good question to ask. Am I praying rightly? Also a good question to ask. Am I disciplining myself and telling myself what is true the way that David is telling me here? A very good question to ask. But the fundamental question is, do you know that when you stop praying, Jesus Christ does not? Do you know that when you forget the Lord and his benefits, he does not? But his mind is fixed on steadfast love. And he invites you, will you remember what I remember? And will you forget what I forget? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we ask that you would pour out your Spirit, that you would come to us and remind us. For Lord, we know that we need this self-discipline. We need to instruct ourselves in what is true and not merely be blown about by what we're experiencing. But most fundamentally, we need you. We need you to remind us that when we fail in that duty, you do not fail. That when we're afraid and anxious, you remember that we're dust. And that doesn't stop you. For you made us in order that we might know your love. And we pray that you give us the strength to comprehend that love that's come to us in Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.